Welcome to an exciting night of radio featuring The Saint and the Adventures of Sam Spade, brought to you by Tan Man Trenchcoats
and Wild Root Cream Oil Hair Tonic.
Hold on to your wallets as we first meet Simon Templar, the Robin Hood of crime, in an episode of The Saint titled The High Fence. We will also cross paths with a true detective in an episode of The Adventures of Sam Spade titled The Hot 100 Grand Caper. Tonight's heroes know that in order for you to look your best, nothing says style like a man with a stylish coat.
And perfect hair.
With a coat that keeps you out of sight.
And hair care that makes you look just right.
You are ready for anything, including tonight's performance of The Saint. The daring adventures in the career of Leslie Charteris's favorite of detective fiction, radio, and motion pictures, the Robin Hood of modern crime, Simon Templar, known to millions of you as The Saint. Brought to you by Tan Man Trenchcoats, makers of the world's best trench coat for the super spy or the average guy. Making a stand against crime or just standing in the grocery line, either way, you know it's quality. It's Tan Man.
Whether night on the town or chasing bad guys down, you'll make a stand when you wear Tan Man.
Without further delay, we present The Saint. Tonight we find Simon with beautiful Patricia Holm, the girl in his life, and the unreasonably unbeautiful Hoppy Uniats, who thinks with his ham-sized fists and his beloved automatic Betsy. They are having a belated breakfast in the dining room of the Hotel Parkside in New York City. Pat is feeling very gay as she reaches across the table and attempts to snatch the newspaper, which is forming a curtain between her and Simon Templar.
It's very impolite to read a newspaper when you're in such charming company, Simon.
You are referring to Hoppy, of course.
Hey, boys, let me see the funnies, will
you? You can have the whole paper, Hoppy.
I bet that breathless dame outsmarts Dick Tracy.
What were you reading, Simon?
A very interesting story. Some opportunist whose name is as yet unknown to the police sought a hole through the floor of an office above the De La Faveur Frères that's here on Madison Avenue and waltzed gaily out the rear door with over $100,000 in sparkling jewels. A very neat job. Sorry I didn't think of it myself.
Hey, give me the funnies, will you there, boss?
Hello, Saint.
Why, Inspector John Henry Fernack, this is a pleasant surprise. You remember Detective Inspector Fernack, Pat? Defender of the truth, terror of the evildoer, the only detective with the nose of a bloodhound, and jowls to match.
Of course. Hello, Inspector.
You'll pardon me if I don't stand, Inspector. My, feet hurt.
Where were you last night, Saint?
How nice of you to ask. I was going to stay home and bake a cake for a friend of mine who is spending some time in Sing Sing. I had the flour and the hacksaw blades and the shortening already when...
I see you were reading the story about Johnny Answorth picking himself up $100,000 worth of jewelry on Madison Avenue last night.
That's right, John Henry. Fascinating work, I imagine.
Johnny's been peddling his stuff to the high fence, and he was poisoned in his cell this morning. Just as he was going to tell me who the high fence was.
Goodness, Inspector, are you still trying to climb the high fence?
Yes, and the commissioner figures you're it.
Fernack, these jewel robberies have to stop. Mrs. Pryke here, who represents the insurance companies, has every right to expect action from the police and...
Madeline, this morning, Mr. Peabody of the Peabody Jewelers was called to a hotel where a wealthy Argentine and his bride wanted to pick out a diamond bracelet.
And what happened? This wealthy Argentine, whose name on the register was Señor Lopez, and his bride pick out the most expensive of six diamond bracelets, which Peabody himself took to the hotel. The Señor gave him a check. They have a drink to celebrate. And Peabody wakes up 2 hours later with a rubber check and no bracelets.
We'll have the man who pulled this cape in the jug in an hour, Commissioner.
It was the Saint, I tell you.
It is a typical Saint crime.
If you just let me say something, I have Peabody the jeweler and the clerk at the Parkside Hotel who recommended him to Señor Lopez both going through the rogues gallery right now. If this Lopez has a record, they'll pick out his picture and I'll pinch him.
Have they seen the Saint's picture?
They have. It was not the Saint. Lord knows I wish it was. There's nobody I'd rather put the arm on than Simon Templar. This is where Sonny Jim Fasten is hiding out, Madeline. Please let me do the talking. I know how to tackle crooks, and I know how to get what I want out of them.
Like you've always known how to get what you want out of the saint, Fernac?
Don't worry about the saint. I'll have him where I want him someday. Hello, Sonny Jim. Don't make any trouble and nobody's gonna hurt you. And stop trying to close that door because my foot's in it and I'm sensitive.
Ah, come in, Fernac. What's it about this time, Flatfoot?
This is Madeline Bright. She's a private detective for the insurance companies that covered those diamond bracelets you picked up at the Hotel Parkside yesterday. Peabody the jeweler, the hotel clerk, and tree bellboys have identified your picture, Señor Lopez.
Oh.
You still have the bracelets?
What bracelets?
Don't be obtuse. Have you sent them off to the high fence yet?
Look, you got me over a barrel. Why should I talk?
I represent the insurance company, Mr. Fasten. If you will tell us where you contact the high fence, we will not prosecute.
You mean that?
You can believe what Pryke says, Sonny Jim. Do you want to do 10 to 20, or do you want to sing a song? Come on, talk.
Yeesh. Yeah, sure. I sent the bracelets off in the mail, addressed to the high fence.
Hey!
Come on!
Did you see the killer?
Only his back.
It must have been the high fence himself. This is the second man he's killed just as they were going to talk.
Get your evening telegraph here.
Hey, you.
Me?
Yeah, which way did that man go that just came out of here?
You must be nuts, Fatty. Nobody came out of that door for the last 5 minutes. What's the matter? Did he pinch something?
Come on, Madeline. We better get upstairs and see what's happened.
He couldn't have gotten out of the building. He must be inside here someplace.
He'll never get away with this. Shooting a man right under my nose.
This is most embarrassing.
Embarrassing, huh? Oh, it's you.
The body. Fasten's body, it's gone.
Are you accusing me of being a body snatcher from the picture of the same name, John Henry?
At last. Stand up, Saint. I want you.
Hey, you. Yeah, the mysterious man leaning against the light post. Is that a tan man trench coat? Thought so. That style. That pizzazz. That tan. Nothing says man of mystery like a tan man trench coat. Go get yours today. Now, back to the saint. Inspector Fernac of the New York Police and a Mrs. Madeline Pryke, a detective who represents the insurance companies who have lost several $100,000 in jewel thefts during the past few months through the efforts of a man known only as the High Fence, have just seen a cornered jewel thief by the name of Sonny Jim Fasten, alias Lopez, shot right before their eyes just as he was about to divulge the address of the high fence. The murderer ran down the stairs and disappeared. The two of them returned to the apartment where the murder took place to find the body of Fasten had vanished, and the chair where it had been resting occupied by the saint. John Henry Fernac says,
"At last, saint, stand up. I want you."
Hello, John Henry. What are you doing here?
I want to know what you're doing here.
Who's your friend in the loud hat and that scarf? Really, John Henry, you should caution her about her taste in haberdashery.
That's Madeline Pryke. She's an insurance company detective. She is just as interested in you as I am.
How flattering.
So, you're the high fence.
I am. I wonder why Mother never tells me about these things.
What are you doing here, Mr. Templar?
What a lovely voice.
What are you doing here, Templar?
I dropped in to pay a call on Sonny Jim, but he doesn't seem to be here.
That's because Sonny Jim's been murdered.
That sounds awfully exciting. But John Henry, I blew in to see if he knew anything about some diamond bracelets that a fellow named Peabody lost this afternoon. You know I don't approve of anyone else outsmarting insurance companies, but I can't say I thought of shooting him.
How did you know he was shot?
My dear old fathead, I didn't. I merely said I didn't think of shooting him. Was he shot?
Yes.
When?
As a matter of fact, Sonny Jim Fasten was shot in this room less than 5 minutes ago. Somebody opened the door and shot him while we were talking to him.
Just in time to keep him from telling me where I could put the finger on the high fence.
You are the high fence, Simon Templar.
That's silly, Fancy Pants.
I'm gonna find the man that shot Sonny Jim.
I'm sure you are, John Henry. You always do find out these things with that marvelous brain of yours.
This man should be arrested, Fernac. He's the high fence.
John Henry, you're not idiot enough, even you, to pinch me for murdering a man that nobody can prove was murdered. and stealing a corpse that nobody can prove was a corpse.
Someday, Mr. Saint, I am gonna...
Of course, John Henry. But this isn't the day for it. I feel the urge to move on to better company. Either break out the handcuffs, John Henry, or move out of that doorway that you feel so well sideways. I must be getting on.
You can go now. I'll know where to find you when I want you, Saint.
Where have you been, Simon, if I'm not being too curious?
Oh, I've been having a chat with John Henry Fernack, Pat, darling.
How was John Henry?
I'm afraid he thinks I know who the high fence is, and he thinks that I'm wanting to find out where this bird keeps his boodle and cash so that I can relieve him of it before he gets pinched.
Well, for once, John Henry is right.
You lovely thing, Pat. I can't understand where you get those ideas. Hoppy, how's the patient coming along?
He's opening his eyes, boys.
Welcome, stranger. I want to talk to you, Fasten.
What do you want? Who are you?
Templar is the name, Sonny Jim. Simon Templar.
You're the saint.
That's right.
You're the high fence.
No, you're only allowed one guess, you know.
You tried to shoot me just now.
Wrong again, brother. When I shoot people, they don't have a chance to be rude to me afterwards. You're going to tell Inspector Fernack something. What was it?
I don't know nothing.
Yeah, do I give him the heat, boss?
Not yet, Hoppy. By the way, Sonny Jim, this is Hoppy Uniatz. When he speaks of giving you the heat, he means twisting your arm off or burning your feet or some jolly little romp like that. Give his arm just a little twist, Hoppy.
Sure, boss.
Wait a minute. You're breaking my arm. You'll kill me.
Yes, that's perfectly possible. I never know what Hoppy's going to think of next. A little more pressure, Hoppy.
No, I'll talk.
Tell me something about the high fence, and I'll ask Hoppy to be reasonable.
I sent him some stuff once and waited outside the post office to see who picked it up. I pegged him and tailed him to the Cozy Corner Cafe in White Plains.
Uh-huh. Let the nice man rest a minute now, Hoppy. Go on, Sonny Jim.
And this fella that picked up the package at the post office, he took it to the Cozy Corner Cafe and shoved it into the pocket of an overcoat that was hanging there on a rail. Yeah, I gotta get out of here.
Okay. Hoppy, show the gentleman to the door, will you?
Hey, you gonna let him go, boss?
Take him downstairs and put him in a cab.
Sometimes I don't think you know what you're doing, boss, but you always do. Come on, horseface. Boss says it's okay.
I think it would be a good idea if you stayed slightly invisible, Sonny Jim. Inspector Fernack is mad at you.
Yeah, I know.
I'll be right back, boss.
That was a fascinating little tableau.
I can't tell you how glad I am that you liked it, darling. I think Mr. Fasten sang very prettily.
Well, I gather from that smirk on your face that that information about the Cozy Corner Cafe in White Plains was exactly what you wanted.
That's right, Angel. That's exactly what I wanted. And if you'll just give me one of your better kisses, I'll tell you what I'm going to do next. Hoppy, you okay?
Yeah, but...
Get up here.
What happened, Simon?
Somebody was parked out in front, waiting for Sonny Jim to come out. They got him, Pat. He's very dead out there in the street.
Who do you suppose killed him?
It must have been our lethal playmate, the high fence. I thought this address was our own little secret, but somebody's on to it, Angel. We'll be moving on to White Plains and the Cozy Corner Cafe. Doesn't that sound revolting?
This... Cozy Corner cornstarch pudding. Ugh.
Delicious, isn't it?
It tastes like those chocolate-covered rubber bones I used to buy for my dog. Boiled down to the consistency of glue, of course.
You've tried some of the strangest experiments, darling. See that little man over there with the brakeman haircut?
Yes, why?
Well, unless I'm mistaken, that man is the high fence.
What makes you think so, Simon?
Well, he wore that camel's hair overcoat in here. See it hanging in front, near the cashier's desk?
Yes.
And I just saw a young man with crook written all over his face and neon lights shove a small package into the pocket of that coat. That's what we've been waiting for. Pat, this is the main event.
He's getting ready to leave, Simon.
I feel a strange attraction toward that little man.
Come on. Oh, he's going into that office building, Simon.
Get on the same elevator with him. Find out where he goes and what he does. I'll wait here.
All right.
Well, what did you discover, swoon girl?
His name is C.W. Enderby. I listened outside his office door.
How impolite of you, you wonderful woman. What did you hear?
Well, he told his secretary, Miss Sloat, that he had a large order of diamonds to go to England by clipper tomorrow.
Excellent.
He told Miss Sloat to call the insurance company and have them send a man over to make the usual arrangements.
Beautiful. And then what?
He came out of the office and rode down the same elevator with me. I was scared to death, Simon.
Darling, would you be shocked if I kissed you right here in the street? Hello, is Mr. Enderby here?
No, he isn't.
I'm from the insurance company.
About the jewel?
Yes.
You've been quick.
I was out here in White Plains on a job. I had to ring the office from there, just around the corner, and they told me to come along here. Are these the stones?
Uh-huh.
Well, if you'll finish packing them, miss, I'll just take them along now.
Take them along?
Yes, beautiful. It's a new rule. Everything of this kind that we cover has to be sealed and examined in our office and sent off from there.
That's funny. Mr. Enderby's been dealing with your firm for a long time.
I'm sorry. I'll give you a receipt for them, and they're covered from the moment they leave your hands.
The value is $27,650.
Right. I'll make your receipt for it. Can I use this typewriter?
Certainly.
$27,650 worth of package.
Well, what are you going to do with it now that you have it?
I'm going to address it to one Fred Hunter, General Delivery, Hempstead, Long Island, and drop it in a mailbox. Come on, let's get back to dear old Parkside Hotel Grill. I don't like to be in the same town with the Cozy Corner Cafe.
Hello, Mr. Templar. Your usual, sir?
Two of my usuals, please. My daughter here is thirsty.
Your daughter, indeed. Wouldn't you hate to think anybody would actually believe that?
Hello, Mr. Templar. I've been waiting for you.
Well, well. A sour note in the symphony. That hat is even more horrible than the last one I saw you in, Mrs. Pryke.
You know a man called Enderby?
Never heard of him. I like the name, though.
At about 3:10 this afternoon, a man entered his office falsely representing himself to be an agent of the Northwest Insurance Company and took about $27,000 worth of precious stones.
I can just imagine how poor Mr. Enderby must have felt.
You answered the description of that fake insurance agent, Templar. Miss Sloat, Mr. Enderby's secretary, described you perfectly. Are you coming along quietly?
Certainly not.
Come on down to the station or I'm going to use this gun, Templar.
Okay, if that's the way you feel about it.
Simon!
I'll be seeing you, darling. Don't worry, I'll be back for dinner. This toy policewoman is going to wish she died when she was little, before she's through with this bench.
All right, taxi?
Yes, sir.
All right, Templar, get in.
You're such a bossy little woman.
Drive once around the park, then to police headquarters, Center Street, driver.
Yes, sir.
Nice of you to take me for this ride, ma'am. I didn't think you liked me.
I want to talk with you.
How touching. Would you mind telling me, dangerous Desdemona, what is that perfume you are wearing? I want to know so I can avoid it.
What did you do with those stones you got in Enderby's office this afternoon, Saint?
I say, lady, would you mind if I open a window? It's dreadfully stuffy in here. That perfume you're wearing, Desdemona, it is overcoming.
I know your tricks, Saint. Leave the windows closed.
Oh, there's something funny going on, Pryke. I'm getting sleepy. I can't keep my eyes open.
Yeah, I'm getting sleepy too. It must be...
That perfume? Familiar? Madeline? Madeline? She's passed out. Driver? Driver...
So, you're waking up for a last look around, are you, Saint?
Yeah. I usually take a voyage at this time of year. I find it bracing for jaded nerves. Would you mind telling me what I'm doing all tied up like a birthday cake?
You're going in for some deep-sea fishing, Saint. And you're going to break the record for staying underwater. You got it?
Yeah. You are the strong-armed boy for the high fence. Did you kill Sonny Jim Fasten?
Sure, I don't mind telling you. You ain't going to talk to anybody.
Well, of course you don't know it, Golden Boy. When you feed me the fishes, you also feed them $27,650 worth of diamonds.
Oh, no, we don't. Those diamonds are at the Hempstead Long Island office, addressed to Fred Hunter, General Delivery. You told us all about that. The high fence has already gone there to be Mr. Hunter.
Oh? What time is it?
Almost 4 a.m.
You'll pardon me, old fellow, for being inquisitive, but what's been going on? I was gassed in that taxicab.
Sure, the high fence had that cab there waiting for you. I was driving it, and I fed that chloroform into the back seat. The high fence thinks of everything. You know it?
I'm beginning to believe it. Then the high fence gave me a drug to make me talk. That right?
Sure.
Very scientific of him. I'm surprised.
Well, it's about time for you to be going, Saint.
I hope you choke on your last breakfast on the day they hang you for this.
Sure. Come on. This is the end of the line, old timer. So long, Saint.
How do you feel now, Simon?
That hot toddy did it, Pat. And these dry clothes.
I'll kill the guy that did this thing. Just show him to me and I'll kill him.
Now, don't be too hard on my friend. After all, if he'd been a little more of a sailor, those knots would have held. And if I had frittered away my time learning how to make an honest living, instead of studying escape tricks under the greatest escape artist since Houdini, I would have been fish food.
Oh, don't talk about it, Simon.
There's a payoff to this gimmick, ain't there, boss?
Elegantly put, Hoppy. We don't know who the high fence is, but we know where he's going, and we know the password he's going to give.
I don't get it.
Well, as long as he thinks that I'm entertaining the denizens of the deep, he's going to feel perfectly safe in going to the Hempstead post office and requesting a little package at the general delivery window tomorrow morning, and I'm going to be there to watch him.
Are we going with you?
I'd like you to, but I think you better stay in the city. Anyone who wants to amuse himself by pumping me full of gas and dope and heave-hoeing me into the river has got to pay for his fun, and that's where you two come in. I want you to stay right here and wait for a phone call. And when the call comes in...
Yes?
Have you anything for Hunter, Fred Hunter? He's expecting a small package and sent me to pick it up.
A package, huh? Just a minute. Oh, yes, here it is, Mrs. Hunter.
Thank you.
Would you like to see a good-looking ghost, Madeline? John Henry, here's your high fence. I told you, he'd be after his mail this morning. Or rather, she'd be here.
How did you know?
How did I know? Your man on the boat told me, you pretty thing, just before he springboarded me into a closed jackknife dive into the very wet East River.
Prake, I have you covered. What are you doing here?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Watch it, Templar. She's got a gun. Templar, you're an idiot, walking into a gun that way.
There's really nothing to it. A bit of judo I picked up from a lady marine I was out with one night.
To think that Madeline Prake was the high fence. I can't believe it.
John Henry, use that magnificent mind of yours. You told me that she was at Center Street, talking with Johnny Answorth just before Johnny died of cyanide in his horseradish?
Yeah, now that I think of it, she was standing back of me when I was talking to Fasten, between me and the door. She must have shot over my shoulder and slammed the door before I could turn around. Well, she's gonna burn for this, Simon. By the way, I'll just take that little back of the stone, Saint. The evidence now, you know?
Of course, old man. I was just holding them for you.
This is once, my boy, when you went through a lot of trouble and didn't make a cent. First time I ever heard of that. Too bad.
Virtue is its own reward. Now you run along, John Henry, and take that bad girl to the Bastille and see that she doesn't get away. I'll see you later.
Hello?
Hello, darling.
Did you get the high fence?
Sure. It was that insurance detective, Madeline Prake. And listen, I want you and Hoppy to beat the cops to Prake's apartment and have Hoppy shake it down. I understand there's a couple $100,000 in cash and diamonds there. And darling, I always charge a fee for my underwater escape trick. The Magician's Union demands it.
Looks like the Saint helped solve another one. Good thing he knew how to swim. Will he survive next time? With his close friends and confidants, Simon Templar always stays one move ahead, one step away, and always looks his best in his tan man trench coat. These stylish coats are all the rage in New York City, Chicago, and all the hot spots, especially on those dark and stormy nights. Whether you're looking for that hidden clue or just a hidden sale at the grocery store, your 10-man trench coat will fit in just about anywhere. Available in a variety of eye-popping colors, including beige, sand, and the always popular camel. It can go with just about anything. Night on the town, Tan Man. Breaking open that next big case, Tan Man. Quit snooping around at other coats. There's nothing like a Tan Man trench coat. Case closed. Go get yours today. Up next, we have the adventures of Sam Spade, Dashiell Hammett's famous private detective, in tonight's episode, The Hot 100 Grand Caper.
Even a private eye like Sam Spade knows you have to look your best without a hair out of place. Wild Root Cream Oil Hair Tonic with lanolin gives him the look he needs.
From the world of the mysterious crime-fighting guy to the office of a private eye, we present the adventures of Sam Spade and tonight's story, The Hot 100 Grand Caper.
Brought to you by Wild Root Cream Oil.
Sam Spade Detective Agency.
This is Sam Blackleg Spade, the third most dangerous gambler on the Barbary Coast.
Oh, Sam, not horses again.
Horses, women, and the gaming tables, Effie. The diversions of the elite.
Well, divert yourself with this, Sam. The phone company has sent the pink notice.
Aha! Pay it no mind, sweetheart. We are healed. We have hit the cashier's cage, annexed the pot, broken the bank, and we're standing on velvet.
Sam, are you sober?
Definitely velvet. Warm, too.
Sam, from where are you calling from?
You're wrong, Effie. It's a drugstore. Stay where you are. I'll be right down to deal out my report on the Hot 100 Grand Caper.
Dashiell Hammett, America's leading detective fiction writer and creator of Sam Spade, the hard-boiled private eye, and William Spire, radio's outstanding producer-director of mystery and crime drama, join their talents to make your hair stand on end with the adventures of Sam Spade.
Presented by the makers of Wild Root Cream Oil for the hair. It's smart to buy things the whole family can use, isn't it? That's why I say it's smart to buy Wild Root Cream Oil Hair Tonic. To mom, to dad, to the children, Wild Root Cream Oil is really a friend indeed. Non-alcoholic Wild Root Cream Oil with lanolin grooms the hair neatly and naturally, relieves dryness, removes loose, ugly dandruff. I hope you have a big family-sized bottle of Wild Root Cream Oil in your home. Get Wild Root Cream Oil Hair Tonic. Again and again, the choice of men who put good grooming first.
And now, with Jack Mooney starring as Spade, Wild Root brings to the air the greatest private detective of them all in The Adventures of Sam Spade.
Date, September 19, 1948. Two robbery details, San Francisco Police. Attention, Sergeant Walsh. From Samuel Spade, license number 137596. Dear Joe, here's the rundown on that Hot 100 Grand. It started pleasantly enough when my secretary, Miss Effie Perrine, cute little mouse, eased into my private office, closed the door behind her, and leaned back against it with that air of pained resignation, which generally means there's a customer outside that she doesn't approve of, but that I'll see her anyway.
It's up to you, Sam. She's very well dressed, and I imagine she can afford you.
How do you deduce that?
Well, she dropped her purse. I didn't get time to count it all, but there was a $100 bill on top.
Well, sure in, Effie.
Sam.
Go ahead. Say it.
Oh, I don't know, Sam. Sometimes, well, does just money...
No. That's one of the reasons I hire you. What's the matter with her?
Well, nothing. That's just it, Sam. She's very good-looking, cultivated, and very kind and considerate, and she seems sincerely troubled.
You mean her act is a little too good?
I felt that too, Sam.
Well, thanks, Angel. I'll keep that in mind. Tell her to come in.
All right, Sam. Mr. Spade will see you, Mrs. Kilcourse.
Thank you. Thank you for seeing me, Mr. Spade.
My pleasure. Well, won't you sit down?
Oh, thank you. I'm Lorraine Kilcourse, Mr. Spade. It's about my husband, Leonard Kilcourse.
Husband? Oh.
We've only been married a short time. It was a quiet ceremony at the San Cedro Mission. Leonard didn't want to subject me to any publicity. The difference in our ages, you know.
You mean you want me to keep it a secret?
Oh, no. No, except for the newspapers, of course. Naturally, all of Leonard's friends know.
Well, he doesn't have many, from what I've heard.
I thought it strange, too, that such a prominent man should have such a small circle of acquaintances. I met him only a short time before I married him. He's been very kind and absolutely devoted to me, and I suppose I should feel ashamed of myself for coming to you, but there are just so many things about him that are mysterious, and I can't seem to find my handkerchief.
Here, Kleenex.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you.
I take it you're not a San Francisco girl.
No, I met him at a dude ranch.
Well, maybe I can clear up some of your mysteries for free. The reason your husband doesn't have many friends is because they keep dropping dead.
I don't understand you.
Ah, forget it. He's a big public servant. He's built a lot of sidewalks. The streets of this city are paved with his good intentions. His name is on 1,000 manhole covers. If the names of his former business associates land on headstones, it's nothing to me. I got my own racket. Well, what?
I think my husband is paying blackmail to someone.
Aha. And upon what do you base your suspicions, Mrs. K?
It started about a month ago. He began withdrawing large sums from our joint account. First it was $10,000, then $20,000, and last week $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
And this morning he closed out the balance of the account, $100,000.
Well, he's got it to spend, Mrs. Kilcourse.
Well, I won't pretend the money doesn't interest me, but what's behind it, Mr. Spade? Each time he withdraws these cash sums, he leaves the house without a word to me and sometimes doesn't return until dawn. My husband is not fond of nightlife, Mr. Spade. Only a desperate situation could induce him to leave the house after dark.
Yeah, so I've heard. And they say that's how he's kept his health as long as he has. All right, you want me to trail him, find out what he does with the money. Just one question. Why'd you pick me for the job?
Why, your reputation.
Well, that's local. You say you're new in San Francisco.
Well, I do read the local papers. Your picture was in only 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, well, that caper didn't help my reputation.
I like your looks. A nice, honest face. A man I could trust.
Well, I don't buy that.
I'm sentimental, too. Your picture reminded me of someone who is very dear to me. My brother. Of course, you're nothing like him, really, but you do look alike. I suppose that sounds like a silly woman's reason.
Yeah. What's your address?
Well, I have a little place of my own out on Divisadero. The Balboa Apartments near Normandy Terrace?
Uh-huh.
You'd better keep in touch with me there. I don't want Leonard to know. The Kilcourse Mansion is at 1316 Clarendon.
1316...
He returns from his office around 6 in the evening. Do you have a car?
No. Well, I need one.
Well, I don't know where he may go. Now, here are the keys to my car. It's parked in front of the main entrance. A gray Plymouth. He won't recognize the car. It's my brother's. Now, about your fee.
$100 an hour. If I need more, I'll leave you a note. I had an uneasy feeling I would need more. The last detective that tried to follow Leonard Kilcourse had hospital insurance. I don't. But I'm a gambler at heart, so I parked Lorraine's Plymouth across the street from the Kilcourse mansion and waited. At 9 in the p.m., Mr. Kilcourse, much, much too old for, came out the front door and flagged down a taxi. I made an illegal U-turn and followed. The trail ended across the Golden Gate Bridge in Marin County. It was a country club-type building on top of a hill overlooking the bay. It did business under the name of Ernie Nogales Racket Club. The racket had nothing to do with tennis. It came from two sources: the moans and groans of the customers losing money at the roulette wheels and crap tables, and the glad hand the management threw at my quarry as I followed him in.
Well, Mr. Kilcourse, surprised to see you. Since when do you go out after dark?
Well, I thought a little nightlife might agree with me, Nogales.
That sounds likely, Mr. Kilcourse. If I didn't know you better, I think you was afraid to go out nights.
Well, now, I was thinking of buying this place to retire to.
Huh?
But I figured it'd be cheaper to win it at your roulette table. What's your limit here?
10,000. But for you, wide open. Hmm. The sky.
A hot 100 grand for a starter?
Well, anytime they catch you with hot money, Mr. Kilcourse. Come over to the cashier. I sell you the chips myself.
I didn't have to bother making myself inconspicuous. Everybody in the joint stopped playing to watch Kilcourse while he shoved his 100 grand roll through the cashier's window and scooped up 4 stacks of 1,000-buck chips.
Make your bets, please. Make your bets.
All right, you, spin that wheel.
Huh? How much you got there?
25 grand. Any objections?
Is that okay, Mr. Nogales?
Spin and draw. I'm covering for the table personally.
Okay, sir. Around and round the little ball goes. 15 pays. 15 and the red.
Well, maybe next time, Mr. Gilcourse. Why don't you double up? Play the red and the black. It's safer.
I'll stay with the numbers. 50,000 on 15. There. Spin it.
It's okay, Joe. I'm still covering.
Well, it's your money, Mr. Nogales. Number four pays. Number four in the red again.
Well, 25 grand more on 15.
Look, Mr. Kilcourse, go on, enjoy yourself. Take it off your income tax. But please, spread them out a little, those chips, huh? Looks bad for the house.
What kind of joint is this? Can't you cover the bets?
Okay, Joe. He asked for it.
Okay, sir.
I didn't wait to see where the little ball went on the last spin of the wheel. I would have made a side bet with any taker that Kilcourse wanted to lose that 100 grand. I would also have made book. He knew I was following him. As I left the table and walked out of the club, I braced myself for what usually comes next. There would either be a dead body in the car, or somebody would crease my noggin with a sap. But nothing happened. I switched on the headlights and stood in the glare of them for fully a minute, but nobody even shot at me. I flushed the shrubbery. No gunmen. Checked the ignition wires, and no booby traps. Driving back to town, I racked my brain for some way to bring them out into the open. I felt like a man with his life savings all on one number waiting for the wheel to stop spinning, which wasn't far from the truth. It's not much of a cliffhanger, but it's the best we could do this week.
We'll return to the adventures of Sam Spade after this brief message from our sponsor.
Now, here's important news on good grooming. If you want the well-groomed look that helps you get ahead socially and on the job, listen. Recently, thousands of people from coast to coast who bought Wild Root Cream Oil for the first time were asked, how does Wild Root Cream Oil compare with the hair tonic you previously used? The results were amazing. Better than 4 out of 5 who replied said they preferred Wild Root Cream Oil. Remember, non-alcoholic Wild Root Cream Oil contains lanolin. It grooms the hair naturally, relieves dryness, and removes loose, ugly dandruff. So, if you want your hair to be more attractive than ever before, get the generous new 25-cent size of Wild Root Cream Oil, America's leading hair tonic, on sale at all drug and toilet goods counters. It's also available in larger economy bottles in a handy new tube. Get Wild Root Cream Oil. Again and again, the choice of men who put good grooming first. By the way, smart girls use Wild Root Cream Oil too, and mothers say it's grand for training children's hair.
And now, back to the Hot 100 Grand Caper, tonight's adventure with Sam Spade.
Yeah.
This is Mrs. Kilcourse's apartment?
Yeah.
Well, can I come in?
Yeah.
Tommy?
Yeah.
Who is that, Mr. Spade?
Yeah.
Oh. This is the detective I was telling you about, Tommy, remember?
Yeah.
The one who looks so much like you?
Yeah.
No.
Oh. Excuse me. This is my brother, Tommy Lane.
Yeah, I mean,
Tommy, won't you run down to the corner and buy me some cigarettes for about 20 minutes? I have something to talk over with Mr. Spade.
Yeah.
Nice boy, your brother. Small vocabulary, but big feet.
Well, he's shy. Now, what did you find out about Mr. Kit? My husband, Mr. Spade.
Well, he dropped the 100 grand in a gambling joint, Ernie Nogales Racket Club. You know it?
No, but I know Ernie Nogales. I knew him in Reno before I met Leonard. He lost his license there for running a crooked wheel.
Well, the way Kilcourse was playing tonight, that wheel didn't have to be crooked. He was trying to lose that 100 grand.
But why? Why would he do a thing like that?
Well, one of two reasons. Either he's paying off to Nogales, or he's paying off to somebody else, and Nogales is the go-between.
Well, I don't believe it. Ernie is a crooked gambler, but he doesn't touch blackmail.
And your husband isn't stupid enough to drop 100 grand in 3 turns of a wheel. Anyway, I'm not tangling with him and or the Ernie Nogales mob for 100 bucks of your money or anybody else's. Here, take it.
Well, but...
And here are your car keys.
No, no, wait, please. You can't desert me now.
Why not?
Well, I haven't told you everything. I'd hoped I wouldn't have to.
About your brother.
How did you know?
Well, the only place you get a green suntan is in the Pokey.
Oh.
And besides, he acts kind of stir-crazy. Spent a little time in solitary, didn't he?
He won't talk about it. But But that's it, Sam. That's why Leonard is paying that blackmail money to Nogales.
Well, you just said Nogales wouldn't touch blackmail. Any other corrections you'd like to make in your copy before we proceed?
Yes. Well, I might as well tell you everything.
Why not?
I knew when I came to you this morning that my husband was paying this money to Nogales. I knew because I asked him to.
You and Ernie Nogales are working together?
I'm not that rotten.
I didn't say you were, but you're a rotten liar. There's that much in your favor.
But I'm telling the truth now, Sam. You must believe me. Everything that has happened is my fault. I persuaded Nogales to give my brother a job in his place in Reno.
Uh-huh.
They quarreled, and when he got closed down, he blamed Tommy. He swore he'd kill him when he got out of prison. That's why I begged my husband to pay him, to save Tommy's life.
Who did rat on Nogales about that crooked wheel in Reno?
I did. That's why I feel responsible. Leonard is so fine. So generous, but I can't let him go on paying for my mistake.
Yeah. Well, like you said, he's going to run out of money.
Look at me, Sam. Do I look like the kind of woman to whom money means everything in the world?
No, but you're looking at me, not a kill course.
Oh, you're laughing at me. Oh, I know what you think. Perhaps I did make a mistake in marrying Leonard, but he was so kind, so considerate. Like my father.
Everybody reminds you of your relatives.
You don't believe my story?
Well, since you
asked... Well, all right then, here's the truth. I'm really Jack the Ripper's granddaughter. My parents were terribly wealthy. I harpooned my mother in her Beverly Hills swimming pool, set fire to my father with a $50,000 negotiable bond, and eloped with John Wilkes Booth. That brings us up to 1865. Shall I go on?
Oh, don't stop. It's great.
Oh, get out of here. Get out of here and leave me alone.
After you've told me all your secrets? I'm not that rotten.
You won't help me. You never intended to. Why go on torturing me?
Anna, stop it. Please. Please, I believe you. Believe all your stories. Now, what is my next smart move?
Sam, the only way to stop Ernie Nogales is to prove that he's running a crooked wheel. Then he'd pay back all that blackmail money and... And he wouldn't dare lay a hand on Tommy.
Well, that's going to be hard to prove and expensive.
Oh, but...
I'll have to lose a little on that wheel before I can figure the way it's rigged. How much can you invest?
Well, I have about $1,000 of my own.
With you?
Yes. Here, you take it.
Hmm. Smells nice.
Sam?
Yeah?
Sam, after all of this is over and after I've put things to right with Leonard, I should have told him before this, but I owed him so much, Oh, Sam, I'm so glad it's you.
Yeah, me too, Angel.
Now go, darling, before I beg you not to.
What time does that joint close?
Well, it runs all night, I think.
Good. Let's stay up late and raid the icebox. Around 2 in the a.m., I low-geared the Plymouth up the long, steep driveway to Ernie Nogales' racket club. I backed into the parking space nearest the road, with the car headed downhill for a quick getaway, just in case, and I went in. The joint was still going full blast. I bought $500 worth of chips, swaggered over to the table where Kilcourse had dropped his $100,000, and nonchalantly flipped a blue chip onto the red.
Place your bets, ladies and gentlemen. Make your game. Okay, that's all. Around and round the little ball goes.
I didn't look to see where the little ball went. Most of the money was on red, so it was bound to turn up black.
Red pays.
What?
Number 15. Place your bets, please. Make your game. Ladies and gentlemen, around and round it goes.
The chips were spread around more the next turn, so I stacked 100 at the bottom of the 1 to 34 column. With a crooked wheel, my 100 made it the best bet to lose.
19, and the red wins again.
Hey. I plunked 500 down on number 5, and raked in $17,500. I left my original bet on the table. And when the little ball fell into the pocket, I was $35,000 to the good from my point of view, but not from my client's. I doubled my bet and looked apprehensively around. There were no surly characters edging up behind me. In fact, the only surly character in sight was Ernie Nogales, and he looked happy. Well, that didn't make much sense. When my bankroll got to $105,000, I played a hunch. I threw $5,000 of it back on the table and lost it. That made a kind of sense. I cashed in the rest of my chips and squeezed the $100,000 U.S. currency into my inside pocket. If anybody aimed for my heart, it was thick enough to stop the slug, which was some comfort. But what I saw when I walked out to the parking lot was no comfort at all. I'd gotten just a glimpse of it through some trees. A sedan backed into a driveway halfway down the hill. It was blacked out except for 5 glowing cigar ends that showed through the windows. I could think of only one reason for five cigar smokers to be parked in that particular spot at that particular moment. The Plymouth was where I'd parked it, pointing straight down the hill. I slammed the door, but I didn't get in. And then I listened.
Vroom, vroom.
The car down the hill was getting ready, too. I cracked the door of the Plymouth wide enough to get my arm inside and pressed the starter with the heel of my hand. I switched on the lights, pushed the clutch with my left hand, used my right to shift it into low, and then I pulled the hand throttle out all the way and let it go.
What's the big idea, busting into my office?
We're gonna have a talk, Nogales.
Please, don't wave that heater at me. Makes me nervous. I don't like guns.
I don't either. That's why I'm here. Put your hands on top of the desk and keep them there.
All right. Give me back that roll. I give you clean money for it. It was a gamble, so I lost. Can you blame me?
Where'd you get this money?
I buy it. 50 cents on the dollar. I don't ask where it came from, but I read the papers. I figured it was that sheepyard payroll job a few days back, like it just fell in my lap. Figured I'd make 50 grand instead of Gilcourse's 5. I guess that was dirty trick you just now served on me, huh?
I got news for you, Nogales. I didn't know this money was hot. And I'm not Tommy Lane.
No? Then what?
Private Dick. Tommy's sister hired me to take the fall for him. Look, I've got most of the caper. Gilcourse wanted to pay Tommy 100 grand. You rigged the wheel so Gilcourse would lose it one night, and Tommy would win it back the next night. Now, what was Gilcourse paying him off for?
No caper. Legitimate. He was sent up for bribing a public official.
You mean he was the payoff man for Kilcourse's contracting firm?
Sure. Legitimate business. The grand jury went out after Gilcourse. Tommy took the rap. That's all. For a price.
Yeah, 100 grand. Well, thanks, Nogales. That's all I needed.
Oh, Sam, I was afraid I might be too late.
You are, sweetheart.
Oh, I have so many things to explain. Where can we talk?
Right in here.
But who's this man?
Why, that's your old sweetie from Reno, Ernie Nogales, remember?
What's the matter with you two? You crazy?
Oh, Sam, I should have told you the truth from the beginning.
Check. The Nogales yarn I can understand, but why did you tell me you were Kilcourse's wife?
I was desperate. I had to say something. It was the only explanation I could think of for my interest in this case without telling the truth.
But you were making a pigeon out of me.
I don't know about such things, Sam. All I know is I'm here in time to warn you. You mustn't walk out of here with that money.
Listen, you two.
They may kill you to get it back.
They already did. They're combing the wreckage of that car right now, looking for my body.
Then Tommy was right. They did mean to kill him.
How'd he get the rumble?
Well, he was in prison from another man that Kilcourse framed. He was in for life, so it was safe for him to talk.
Hey, you.
Yeah, Nogales?
A car that just grew up. I think that's Mr. Kilcourse.
Oh,
here, what's your hurry?
Oh, let me go! Let me go!
Come on, what's your hurry?
Tommy is out there in that car. I've got to warn him.
Or tip off Kilcourse. Which is it?
No! Sam, you've got to believe me.
Sit down. Stop that.
You two have fun. I'm getting out of here.
Go ahead. Now listen, sweet Lorraine. You may as well save your breath for those explanations. You're staying right here until the caper's all wrapped up.
Here he comes. You have a gun, Sam?
Yeah.
Well, you better have it ready.
Uh-uh.
But Sam!
Where's Nogales? I want to see him.
He was called out of town, sir. I'm in charge. You're Mr. Kilcourse?
That's right. I want to know why you people have been interfering with my business. It might interest you to know that this building sits on an old Spanish land grant. Title's very shaky. I'll run an 8-lane highway straight through the middle of it and turn the rest of it into a game preserve, huh? That's what I do to people who double-cross me.
I tried to tell Mr. Nogales that, sir. He wouldn't listen to me. He tipped Tommy off for a split of the 100 grand, but I knew sooner or later we'd have to answer to you, Mr. Kilcourse.
Huh. What's that?
Here's your 100 grand, sir. Count it.
Sam!
Well. What's your name, son?
Sam Spade, sir.
Well, I'm glad to meet an honest lad. Well, come along. You two, young lady, we'll all walk out together.
Sam, what are you?
Shut up.
Spade, huh?
Yes, sir. I'm a private detective, but I'm ambitious.
Politics?
Yes, sir.
Well, we'll run you for assembly. In the meantime, I believe there's an opening in one of the public services. Garbage disposal, executive inn, of course. Where the devil is that man with my car? Oh, there he is. You drop around to my office in the morning.
Thank you, and good night, Mr. Kilcourse.
Drive on, Horace. Back to the city.
Oh, Sam, how could you?
Huh?
All of those lies and just handing over the money like that, it wasn't yours.
It wasn't Tommy's either, sweetheart. Get in.
Well, Tommy, are you all right?
Yeah.
Now drive us across the bridge, Tommy, will you?
Yeah.
Tommy?
Yeah?
Tommy, I'm afraid we'll have to do without the money.
Yeah?
Sam gave it to Mr. Kilcourse.
Yeah!
Now don't get excited, Tommy. I'm sure Sam had a reason. Didn't you, Sam?
Yeah.
I mean, that was marked money from a payroll job.
Oh. Then it won't do him any good.
It'll send him up for a good long stretch if the eyewitness story that goes along with it is good enough. And you're just the girl to tell it, sweetheart. Am I right, Tommy?
Yeah.
Period. End of report.
Already? But Sam?
Yeah?
What happened? Who were the five men in the car? The ones who shot at the Plymouth and the mistaken belief that you were in it?
Their names are of little account, Effie. Suffice it to say that Kilcourse pointed his pudgy finger at them in the hopes of keeping the charge of attempted murder out of his indictment. But I was too clever. I identified them.
But, Sam, you didn't see anything but their cigars glowing in the darkness.
Have you never heard of Sherlock Holmes' monograph on the 49 varieties of tobacco ash, you fool?
Oh. But, Sam, Sherlock Holmes is only the segment of someone's imagination. He's a fictional detective.
Well?
You mean... Oh, Sam, you're tired.
Yes, I am.
It's affected your mind winning all that money. Now you just sit here and rest.
All right.
Think of snowy mountaintops and blue skies. I'll just go and type this up.
Snowy mountaintops. Winter sports yet.
And now, listen to this. If you haven't yet tried Wild Root Cream Oil, the famous hair tonic that grooms your hair neatly and naturally, relieves dryness and removes loose dandruff, then here's a wonderful way to get acquainted. Buy Wild Root Cream Oil in the new 25-cent size bottle at your drug or toilet goods counter. Also, ask your barber for a professional application of Wild Root Cream Oil Hair Tonic. Again and again, the choice of men who put good grooming first.
Well, here it is, Sam. Not that it made any difference, but how did you guess that she wasn't Mrs. Kilcourse?
Simple. Kilcourse didn't recognize her.
But, Sam, that was after you'd announced her.
I did no such thing.
From the report, Sam, in black and white, quote, "Why did you tell me you were Kilcourse's wife?" Unquote. At that point, you assumed she was not Mrs. Leonard Kilcourse.
I did not. I merely wondered why she had told me.
Well, with all the lies she told, you might have assumed anything she said was totally devoid of truth.
And I did, sweetheart. I did.
Oh, well, that's a relief. I was afraid for a while she'd taken you in.
What's that got to do with the truth?
Oh, good night, Sam.
Good night, sweetheart.
The Adventures of Sam Spade was brought to you by
Wild Root Cream Oil. Again and again, the choice of men who put good grooming first.
A tough time, Charlie, keeping all the gals away.
Hiya, Baldy!
Get a bottle right away.
Another mystery solved, another criminal put away, thanks to the efforts of Sam Spade. Thank you for joining us for tonight's broadcast of The Saint and Sam Spade. Join us again soon for our next great radio adventure. On-the-air radio players are brought to you by Tan Man Trench Coats. These popular coats will make you the talk of the town no matter where you go. Say, isn't that Sam Spade in his ever-so-stylish Tan Man Trench Coat?
Why, yes it is. Before I bought my Tan Man Trench Coat, I was just another private eye. Now when people see me, they know I mean business. Clients and suspects alike are just dying to work with me. Being a detective is tough. and my tan-man trench coat is just what I need to make my job easier. Isn't that right, Tommy?
Yeah.
This has been a production of OTARP, the on-the-air radio players. This has been a production of the On the Air Radio Players and was sponsored by the County of Henrico Division of Recreation and Parks. Your vocal talent for the evening were Ori Cruz, Clara Hope, Tab Justice, Joe LaMonaco, Chris Lithgow, Jack Mooney, Don Pulaski, Emily Blair Powers, Morgan Riley, Catherine Wright. Sound effects provided by Harry Caulfield and Ann Davis. Tan Man Trenchcoat ads were written by Joe Bishop. Music was provided by Margie Langston. Our sound engineer was Devin Langston. Our production manager was Joe Bishop, and our director was Catherine Ann Francis Bishop. This performance has been recorded and will be made available for our listening on our website, www.otarp.com, along with past performances such as Christmas All Around the Dial, What Are the Odds, and Radio Goes to War. Pick up a flyer in the lobby or visit www.otarp.com for information about our 5th annual scriptwriting contest. Winning entries will be performed at our June show. Also, make sure you join us in March for our next show, Here Comes Mr. Jordan. For the cast and crew of On the Air Radio Players, I'm Don Pulaski, wishing you a good night and happy listening.